All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
Someday she wants a big old house sitting on a big old hill and a mile-long tree-lined driveway for a big old Coupe de Ville. Yes, someday she wants a big old bank account with too much to spend. But right now all she wants is a man with a big old heart who can love her like nobody can. Big old kisses that go on and never end. With a big old smile, he'll fill the world with laughter. Size matters.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 51.
Gonna name the episode, or you just gonna keep on eating that scrum diddly umptious dessert like treat?
Matt, I should let you know right off the bat that tonight's cookie
Hold on. This episode of Geek Stuff is sponsored by...
I don't think we should say that. I think we should definitely say that tonight's cookie is the sugar-free cinnamon graham crackers made by the fine people at Honeymade.
So, the question I have to ask now is, when I come back here next week to the studio to do episode 52, the big episode.
Our anniversary episode?
Our anniversary episode.
Yes.
Should I expect to see some giant carton of Honeymade graham crackers here?
If
are you
only...
working some sort of angle that I don't know about
what
yet?
Do you mean?
Is this the Jelly Belly of 2007?
Didn't work with the multi-grain Chips Ahoy.
Did not.
Maybe the honey... Made people are listening.
Perhaps they are.
Is it Honeymade? I think it's Honeymade.
I believe Honeymade is a brand.
I know a guy at Nabisco.
Do you?
His sweep up?
Sweeps up the crumbs.
Anyway, it is episode 51, and we're calling it Size Matters.
Aw.
Because for two of us in the room, it doesn't matter. And one of us in the room, it does.
Aw.
Do you care to
why
explain?
You pipe up right away, fantastic. Why you pipe up right away in defense?
Because that's not a funny joke.
Oh, yes, it is,
so I want to know why.
We heard some stuff, fantastic.
I thought we were naming it Size Matters because we got about 50 emails to bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com today in our spam mailbox that says Size Matters. Or do you want to have a bigger size? Or or you can get these pills cheap here.
Or cucumber in your spandex.
Oh, man. Are we getting a lot of those or what?
Yeah, man.
I don't know. But I think actually what we should say is that we're going to talk about, we're going to address, now that we actually have it in our hand, we're going to address Hasbro's ultimately fatal decision for Marvel action figures to scale them down to, well, what size? Well, we'll talk about that in segment two today.
When size matters.
Right. But... let's move on with the news.
Okay, let's.
Is that all we have to discuss before we go on to the news?
Yeah, I was wondering whether or not I should bring up the fact that we really beat the hell out of those audio bits last week.
What bits?
We really beat them up.
What
I feel
bits?
Kind of bad for
what
the listeners.
What bits?
I'm not saying it. I'm not falling for your trap.
I don't know what you're talking
chicanery.
About. Fantastic. Anything?
No, I got to say, I'm using a different gel in my hair. No?
Yes?
It's more of a glue than a gel.
What were you using before that?
Matt, what was I using before that?
I ain't saying it. But it did provide a glow, unlike the glue, which is not like a gel. We have a correction
yeah.
from last week's episode.
Uh-oh, who'd the correction come from?
It didn't, actually. I stumbled upon it on my own this time.
No, you say you make up some listener's name.
I want to make up a listener's name.
It was Johnny Boy.
For this.
Johnny Boy.
No, it was emailed. It was Mike Johnson.
Okay.
From Saskatchewan.
All right.
Saskatoon.
And what does Mike Johnson have to say?
Well, Mike Johnson from Hohokus wrote in to tell us that Dan Jurgens was not the illustrator on The Death of Superman. He was, in fact, the writer.
Oh.
Nice going.
But I didn't specify that.
Nice going.
I said it was by. Didn't I not?
You know what? Look, you may not have, but I think we later said something about
we didn't do anything.
I'm pretty sure it was Kevin.
You. No, it was certainly not me. Don't make me pull the clip. In fact, here is the clip.
Never went back.
I instead went to my local comic book store that day. The day the issue came out, because they were having a signing there by the artist at the time was
Dan Jurgens.
Dan Jurgens, and he was signing the books. Both
that?
Black bagged version. It was Dan Jurgens.
Wait, hold on. You knew that?
Well, do you see what these events do?
You knew it was Dan Jurgens who wrote who drew the Death of Superman issue?
Well, I'm gonna
Read comic books. I read comic books. I even know it was Dan Jurgens.
I'm gonna have to verify that before we go forward.
No, it is. It was Dan Jurgens. Can we actually hear the clip?
And there it is. The clip again, where you, Matthew, support dummy over there's assertion that Dan Jurgens.
But you
was
threw that little bit in there where you were like, did you actually knew who drew the Death of Superman? How is it that you knew who drew the Death of Superman and I didn't know who did this?
I just blurted out the only name that I knew in conjunction with that.
All right. Well,
and then you guys, you did your thing.
All right. Let's talk about this.
I love it again. You guys did your thing. He did it. I sat here in awe of the fact that you knew anything.
Let's talk about the big trailer online this week.
Okay, let's.
Pirates 3.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
I like Chow Yun-Fat. I like, what's her name?
Keira Knightley.
Yeah, she's hot.
Like that.
And I like the fact that it's a Pirates movie.
Okay.
But
3 for 3.
It really looks even more goofy than the last one.
See, I didn't feel that way. What about you? Fantastic. What did you feel? What was
your
opinion?
It looks, by comparison, more goofy than Ace Ventura 2 looks when compared to Ace Ventura 1?
How can you possibly bring that up as a comparison?
Well, I know where he's going for.
Say my piece then. Let me say my piece. The scene where Jack Sparrow and
Davy Jones?
Yes, Bill Nighy as Davy Jones are fighting on the mast of the ship.
Right.
As the storm is raging and the ship is rocking, and they are just perfectly standing there fighting was terrible.
I like that. I thought it looked good.
It was awful.
You know, when I saw that, my guess was like, this is their stab at trying to make cinema history, and at the same time, harkening back to the shadow stairway fight in Robin Hood with Errol Flynn.
How dare you?
You tread an undangerous
ground.
How fantastic.
Dare you?
Big Kev would go gay for Errol Flynn.
How dare you, sir? Sully.
I didn't put the scene
together.
One of
the greatest cinematic masterpieces featuring the original action hero, Errol Flynn, and Basil Rathbone in the scene, I might add.
Yes.
How dare you? Fantastic. How dare you?
You treat me like I came up with the idea and I put them on the mast and I said, guys,
you are the one drawing the awful comparison. Awful, awful comparison, I might add. Have you watched that movie?
Yeah, I have.
You have? You've seen Errol Flynn's Robin Hood?
I have. Not that I remember every line.
On a 67-inch DLP? Have you watched it on that yet?
Shit, boy, I don't watch TV on DLP.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, I like the trailer.
Wait, excuse me. Don't you ever, ever bring up the almighty Flynn again, you unlearned boob.
We wouldn't want to waste another 45 seconds in a future episode.
By the way, I don't know that I told you that. I might not have even told you this, man. I know I didn't tell him. I might not even have told you this. Do you know recently I fulfilled a childhood dream?
Which was?
I purchased an Errol Flynn and Basil Rathbone autograph. Two
wow.
autographs. Yep.
Good for you.
Which I'm going to have professionally framed with the picture from the very scene that Stupendous, our producer, is trying to compare the awful fight scene in that Pirates 3 trailer to.
It's funny you say that because I should happen to have an autograph by both of those men in my car on Mead notebook paper. You give me a couple seconds, I'll go get it for you.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Retard. I believe him.
Yeah, of course. Sure, back him up. Yeah, but you didn't back him up during that fucking Superman Dan Jurgens thing.
So I guess
I don't believe him. There's no Mead notebook paper from Errol Flynn's.
So Pirates 3 has no chance for you then.
What do you mean? I'll see it. But it's silly. They went from the first one, which I thought was very, do I want to say realistic?
No, I don't think realistic, but maybe it was a little bit more serious.
Yeah, grounded in reality, I think, with some fantastic elements. To the second one, which was more about the fantastic elements and less about it being grounded in anything. To the third one, which looks already from the trailer to be so over the top.
The second one, to me, was more like a live-action cartoon with some of the antics that are just going on with a giant wheel fight where the wheel breaks off the windmill and they're fighting in there. When Jack has a giant bamboo shoot on his back and he's spearing
fruit that
people are throwing at him. I was just like, this is ridiculous. He falls at least like literally hundreds of feet, and he lives. It got me thinking. I was saying to the person next to me, I was like, I don't remember from the first movie. Is he still dead? Is he like still invulnerable? How does this
work?
I think
that was me.
Why
that
is
we
he
had
alive?
This conversation. Yeah.
It got me thinking. I was trying to explain it away because it was so preposterous.
I don't know. I really look forward to it. May 25th, I think, is when it's coming out. I think we'll have to wait and see what the finished product looks like before we cast any solid judgment.
Okay.
But while we're talking about ridiculous, why don't we at least mention the fact that R2-D2, our beloved astromech droid from the famed Star Wars movies, I was going to say trilogy, but that wouldn't really
trilogies
work, is going to be
a pentology, a sexology?
Sept, I would think.
Speaking of movies that got goofy.
Sex. It would be sex. Six.
Oh, right. Either way, R2-D2, going to be a mailbox.
What?
Have you seen this yet? They're decorating, you know, the big blue mailboxes that you have at your street corner? You put your mail, they're all throughout the city. They're all throughout your town.
They're going to make all of them R2-D2s?
Yeah, they've got these like skins that they're wrapping around them. You know, like a skin, like a cell phone skin or an Xbox 360.
Right.
And they're wrapping around the mailbox to make them look like R2-D2.
I also heard in addition to the skin, as you say, they'll be installing a 20-foot flag on top with a giant red banner that says, "Steal me."
Yeah, I'm totally cutting one of those loose.
So isn't
that a federal offense?
It's a huge federal offense.
I think I may go to jail then.
The mailboxes will appear in some 200 cities nationwide, approximately 400 mailboxes total, which isn't that much, really. I mean, yeah, it's like two mailboxes per city. I mean, I'm going to have to drive through Manhattan looking for this dumb thing at some point.
You just want your picture with it, don't you?
Hell yes, I do. So yeah, that's just silly.
I have some comic news, or actually it's not really comic book news per se, but Charles Schulz, who did, as we know, the Peanuts comics, Charlie Brown, Snoopy, so forth,
right,
did a lot more than just Peanuts. He did strips before, he did strips while he was doing Peanuts that were different, and in the 50s and 60s he did a series of single panel comics dealing with the difficult teen years.
Ooh.
And now it's called Schulz Youth. It's going to collect those strips, many of which have never been reprinted.
Right.
It's coming in May from About Comics.
Okay.
And I happen to pick up this today from our local comic book shop, just to give you an idea. I picked up a little promo poster. It has some of the strips on it.
Oh, very cute.
And they're actually kind of funny. What they look like is teenage versions of Charlie Brown Peanuts characters. Although they're not. They're not to be confused with Charlie Brown characters because they're not teenage versions of them. But it's definitely his style, and it's definitely teenagers doing, I guess, crazy, wacky 50s and 60s type. Oh, I guess good, wholesome, clean cut 50s and 60s. I don't think anyone's having any problem with their marijuana in any of these, is what I'm guessing.
Right.
But it looks like another, they are really just farming out every bit of Charles Schulz that they possibly can.
Well, you know, they did that with Dr. Seuss for a long time. Remember, I mean,
it's still coming out. I just got another book about Dr. Seuss.
The one that I remember specifically is all the wartime cartoons yes, that he did, all the yeah. political cartoons uh-huh. that he did. I mean, I remember when that came out, it actually caused quite a stir because people know who Dr. Seuss as that fun-loving
Green Eggs of, and
yeah,
ham.
Cat in the Hat and Green Eggs and
the Butter Battle
and all that good stuff. So
right.
So there was an image that appeared online, a couple of different websites I've seen it past week, and it's causing a little bit of a chatter regarding Spider-Man 3. It's an image of what we are to believe is Peter Parker's bicycle. It's parked in the middle of the woods, and there's this huge meteorite that's crashing to Earth directly behind the bicycle. And obviously, the chit-chat is whether or not said meteorite is what's going to carry the Venom symbiote to Earth and thus launch that character into the film.
So we're not going with the idea from the Ultimates that it was created?
Well, again, it could be nothing. It could be a really good Photoshop of a meteorite crashing to Earth in the middle of this scene. For all we know, the scene doesn't even take place and has nothing to do with the film. I mean, it's really nondescript. That's what's being said, is how they figure out a way to bring Venom in. I don't know for sure. I don't think no one knows for sure right now.
Huh.
Maybe Sony knows for sure. Sam Raimi knows for sure. I'm guessing not too many more.
As you may or may not know from this program, we have discussed in the past that Batman indeed does have a son. It has been established.
Right.
It is now DC canon that Damian Wayne is the son of Bruce Wayne and Talia, whatever her last name is.
Beckendorf.
I don't believe it's Beckendorf.
Look it up. It's the only thing I remember from that comic.
Really? Did Dan Jurgens draw it? Beckendorf. It's
Are you serious? Is it Beckendorf?
I think it's Talia al Ghul, isn't it?
Yeah, it is al Ghul.
Okay.
You see him?
What?
It is al Ghul.
He actually thought it was Beckendorf?
No, I knew it was al Ghul.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I knew it was al Ghul.
Are you kidding? Anyway, because of the Batman numbering system, very soon in May, actually, we will get Batman number 666. And they are stepping out of storyline to tell the story, Grant Morrison and Andy Kubert, to tell the story of what that kid is going to be like 15 years in the future when he's assumed the mantle of Batman in a nightmarish future Gotham.
Ew.
I don't think so. I think it's kind of interesting, and pray God it's an Elseworlds book, because what does that mean? Batman's dead in 15 years?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would think it would be an Elseworlds book, or it's just out of, you know.
Out of context or
but
whatever?
But then again, in DC World, anything that's out of regular continuity nowadays is slapped with the Elseworlds label pretty
right.
much.
Right. I mean, at least they're doing that.
Oh, sure. At least they're identifying it.
Yeah,
sure.
They're trying to maintain one universe.
Sure.
Unlike other comic book companies.
Right.
I think what's interesting about it is that the kid is kind of just a nutbag. He's kind of just a violent little shit. I mean,
right.
He like beat Robin near to death because he wanted to be Robin. And
wouldn't you?
He's a loon.
No. But yeah, so that's coming up in May. Batman 666 from, I guess, Grant Morrison and Adam Kubert. That's what I'm being indicated here.
In a recent interview with Mr. John Carpenter, someone had asked him about this supposed remake of Escape from New York,
ugh,
which we talked about last week. And his quote was, "I don't know that it's a remake. I think it's a lot about Snake before he gets to New York."
Oh, really?
So it's a prequel? I don't know.
Will they stop with the prequel?
Exactly. You know,
Did this already as a comic, I think.
They might have. I don't know.
Something.
At first, I did breathe a small sigh of relief because I was happy to know that it wasn't a remake. But then I fell right into prequel land, and it was like, God, it's going to be just as shitty as a remake. Or chances are, I shouldn't say definitively whether or not it'll be good or not, but chances are it'll be just as shitty as a remake. I just think it's a character, and it's something that just needs to be left alone.
I think I'd much rather see a few years ago after Escape from LA came out, they rumored that they were going to do another one.
Oh, God.
Called Escape from Earth.
Of course they were.
Pliskin was trying to escape the Earth, and that sounded to me more exciting than this one does.
You have to get off all of Earth because all of the technology was erased and set back. And
why would it be called Escape from New York, the prequel, because he's not in New York yet?
Well, maybe it won't be Escape from New York. They're just calling it that now in Internet Rumorville. It'll be On My Way to New York.
The comic was the Snake Plissken Chronicles, which I think would be an interesting title for such a movie.
It'll be like $6 to get through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy stuff.
Off on the road to New York.
IDW, who is a comic book company out there in...
comic book land?
Yes, they are the ones doing the obnoxiously large amount of Transformers books.
Ah, right. Oh, right. Is this the same company that's teaming with Marvel to do Transformers Marvel or whatever?
Yeah, Transformers... What was it? Transformers Avengers.
Yeah,
Transformers New Avengers, Avengers something like that. They also have the Star Trek license, and they are going to be doing a book called Star Trek Klingons, Blood Will Tell.
Okay.
Now, this is a story set. It's actually, it's basically a Klingon perspective on a classic episode of the Star Trek television series.
Okay.
So, one of the episodes, maybe, is it Blood Will Tell? Is that an episode, Fantastic, Blood Will Tell from the original series? And it will come in both an English and, hold on to your hats, kids, a Klingon language version.
Ew.
Now, why are you saying ew? You don't know anything about Star Trek. You don't know anything about Klingons or Klingon language or anything. Why are you ewing?
I know enough to know that it's ew.
Why? Explain yourself.
Because I think it's ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous?
Because it is.
Oh, that's... Wow, you've cleared it right up. Thank you. I was wondering why you thought it was ridiculous.
I think it's just silly to take it that seriously to do the Klingon translation. I find it to be ridiculous and silly.
Yeah.
They did in Galaxy Quest, with one of the special features on the DVD, in case you haven't seen this, is they translated the whole movie so you can watch it in that alien language. It's very funny.
Oh, it is hysterical.
And it's really just, you know, pointing a finger at this kind of thing. It's
right.
Funny. And in parody, I think it's appropriate, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I bet if that Josh Whedon show that you're so obsessed with did a whole language in Chinese, you would think that was cute.
No, it'd be silly. The characters don't speak Chinese mainly.
They don't?
They pepper Chinese in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they speak it fluently
And if they did a whole thing in Chinese in whatever that show is?
Involving just those characters, I think it'd be kind of silly.
Okay, fine.
My opinion.
You're quite a fan of that show.
I am quite a fan of that show. Doesn't mean I'm not allowed to have an opinion about it.
What show are you guys talking about?
I ain't saying it.
What?
I ain't saying it. You say it. They don't play it when you say it.
Josh Whedon.
The people in the computer don't?
The one that Serenity is based on.
Exactly.
Oh, that sci-fi action western drama comedy?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
He's just scared now.
So
we'll just let it. You know what we'll do? We'll let it go for a while. We'll let it drop, and you know, and he'll forget. And then one day he'll just say it, and it'll come back.
I'm not saying I'm never going to say it again, but after last week's episode, I ain't saying it this episode. I'm not.
Okay.
So Emil Hirsch, who you may or may not know from The Girl Next Door, Lords of Dogtown, etc.
Oh no! Oh no, my friend, you're forgetting a very important film.
Oh, I'm sorry. What would that film be?
Alpha Dog.
Oh, yes. Yes, Alpha Dog. His most recent work, right?
I heard that movie was really good.
Really?
Yeah, it's coming out on DVD in a couple weeks, I think. I want to see it. Justin Timberlake's in it.
Ooh, I know you're a fan of Justin Timberlake.
Well, if not me, then certainly fantastic.
It looks like Emil Hirsch is currently in talks to star as...
Young Indiana Jones.
Speed Racer.
Oh, really?
In the upcoming Wachowski Brothers film... Speed Racer.
Oh, you mean Keanu is out?
I don't think Keanu was ever solid, which thank God.
I was going to say Leonardo DiCaprio.
You always say Leonardo.
That's your
answer
to everything.
I was going to say Wesley Snipes. A black Speed Racer.
Ew.
A dark black Speed Racer. Apparently, the film is going to be a young Speed.
A prequel to Speed Racer.
It is a prequel to Speed Racer.
Young Speed Racer.
Ew.
I'm sorry, but I couldn't care less.
I you know what?
I have no interest in Speed Racer.
None.
I think the only way I would care about a Speed Racer film is if the casting that we did was followed.
What was actually to happen.
Johnny Knoxville and...
Anna.
No, Johnny Knoxville and Vince Vaughn as Speed
Johnny
Racer.
Johnny Knoxville as Speed Racer and
Vince Vaughn as Racer, Racer X. And
Anna
Faris as Trixie.
Trixie, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the only way I'd have interest in that film.
From the pages of Runaways comics from Marvel.
Ooh, I like Runaways.
Is actually a new book coming called Loners.
Okay.
It's by C.B. Cebulski and Zunder. Carl Moline. And it's another one of these teen angst books, right, like Runaways, where there's five young superpowered adults trying to stay out of spandex. But it's of course, it's not as easy as it may sound.
Of course not.
So
these are original characters,
I guess. Okay. I don't know
if they're original characters. At least kudos to original characters and not trying to somehow take some sort of pre-existing characters and give them like children who are having angst superpowered issues. I mean, at least,
well, that's
kudos
what Runaways
to the creative
is,
outlet.
It?
No, they're not like the children of anybody.
Yeah, I thought they were.
They're not the children of any like mainstay Marvel characters.
Fantastic. Will you look up Runaways?
I read Runaways.
I thought they were like the
kids. Not like Wolverine's kids or nothing like that.
Wolverine.
Their parents are superpowers, but no one of note in the Marvel universe.
I thought some of them were of note. No. Oh. Well, I don't read teen angsty stuff. I leave that to you. And on TV, I leave it to Fantastic.
Exactly.
Keep us informed on the OC and, well, when it was on.
Well, speaking of Fantastic, here's something he might or might not be excited about. It looks like New Line Cinema is in some sort of development deal to create, produce, put out on film Gears of War, the movie.
That's funny, that one.
Why is it funny?
Because if there were ever a video game with less story to tell than Gears of War. It is very cinematic in its presentation.
But no story.
But the funny thing is, like, at first when the game came out, it was criticized for its lack of creative writing and lack of, I guess, I want to say voice talent. The voice talent is there. It's just not really utilized. It's very funny because it's like really big guys with guns grunting at each other at the most basic level. And to make a movie about that, it's going to be a 100% action movie.
You want my personal opinion on this?
What's that?
It's a video game movie about guys with big guns. It's New Line Cinema. Peter Jackson, who New Line Cinema hates, was working on producing and backing Halo, which has fallen apart.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of New Line Cinema's little slap in the face to say, you tried to do Halo, you couldn't, go fuck yourself, we're doing Gears of War.
Man,
that's what I think.
Which is terrible, because Halo has the story.
Has a good story that could translate to film, I think, if handled properly.
Halo has elements of its story that people speculate on. There's like, you know the way Lost fans go to Lostpedia and write their speculations and track every little thing? There's an equally crazy crowd of Halo fans that do that for the Halo story.
I know. It's
so to see it go to Gears of War first.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, it's a development deal, and we're talking about there's an early script, I think 21 pages of a script and yada yada. But I really do think there's some basis there in the fuck Peter Jackson some more theory from New Line, since it seems that's what they've turned their new motto to.
Well, at least it's based on a good game like Gears of War. Even though it's so freaking hard and so freaking frustrating to play multiplayer with anybody who's played for more than
30
five
seconds.
Minutes. Oh my God, it's so frustrating. Grenade tagging is so fucking cheap.
Oh, Jesus. Silly.
Over in England.
Ooh.
Angleland.
Right.
A company called Vivid Imaginations will be putting out action figures based on your very liked new series, Robin Hood, from the BBC.
Pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, again, I don't think that you're giving the show a fair chance. I really do enjoy the show. And just like I would love to see figures from anything that I really appreciate from film or television, you know, if the figures are done well, then I would like them.
I don't know how you're saying that, because as long as I've known Big Kev, he's always given everybody a fair chance.
Thank you. Fantastic.
That's one thing about people say about Kev is, if I say, you know, can you give me one word to describe Kevin? And they say, well,
fair.
Fair.
Fair. That's right. Fair. And I'm going to be fair to this line when I say they look eh. And it looks like we'll be getting at least two figures of Robin. Big surprise. Little John. Marion.
Right.
Including one in her Watchman disguise.
Yes.
Gizborn. Sheriff of Nottingham. Good. Guy of Gizborn. Figures with horses.
Right.
And at least a 12-inch
There's a Little
Robin
John in there,
also.
Too, right? Did you say Little John already?
I think I did, yeah. Little John.
The Gizborn figure, I think, looks really good. I'm interested to see what the Marion figure is going to look like, because she's so damn cute on that show.
Well, they have the Watchmen one here.
Yeah, but you can't see her face in the Watchmen one. She's all covered up.
Yeah. And
as is the character.
They look kind of... I guess if you like the show...
Right.
You like the toys. They're decent, but they're not great. I can't really tell, based on this, whether they're going to be 6-inch or not. It says for sure that there's one 12-inch, but it says nothing about size, whether they're going to be 6-inch or... it looks like they feature a few points of articulation. Nothing extraordinary, but they're out there.
This is my ridiculous bit of news. I saw this, and I laughed out loud for a little bit. And then I got kind of angry, and then I realized how dumb people are, which I do often.
The mailbox? R2-D2 wasn't ridiculous?
It is ridiculous, but this, I think, is more ridiculous.
I thought you meant our mailbox.
there's a gentleman online on MySpace at the very least, and I'm sure someplace else. Blogzaro is what his handle is, his online handle is. And he's got a Bring Back Captain America petition that he's sending around, and he's trying to get people to, you know, digitally sign to send to Marvel Comics. Dear Marvel Comics, we, the undersigned, demand that the comic book hero Captain America, who was assassinated in Captain America number 25, be resurrected and allowed to continue his run as a major figure in the Marvel Universe. And then it goes on to describe his, you know, Captain America's past a little bit. There's nothing wrong with the story that features the apparent death of a character who at the end of the tale returns to life. What's wrong is leading the media and public to believe that the character has really bit the dust for the sole purpose of creating a buzz and increasing sales. That is an unfair and unethical practice.
Wait, Marvel never does that.
Now, hold on, wait a second. I have some comments about this.
Can I finish?
We, the undersigned, further demand that the comic book company stop pretending to kill off popular characters and stop misleading the public, blah, blah, blah. If Captain America is truly dead, the world of comics will be much poorer. But if this is a publicity stunt, please spare us the misleading media blitzes in the future. True comic book fans don't care about these ploys or read a book just because they saw a story on CNN. We, the undersigned, demand stop killing our heroes. Nuff said.
Speaking of publicity stunts.
Right.
Let me tell you a little story.
This had better be about this.
Very sad. Very fast.
You're busting our flow. It had better be about this topic.
No, it's about this.
Then we are not going to listen to your goddamn story.
He said it's about this.
No, it's about this.
It's not about this. He's lying.
So the other day, this guy is doing this because the inevitable is that he's coming back.
Of course he is.
So this guy can say he single-handedly got tens of thousands of people to sign something, and he brought Captain America back.
Let me tell you
something.
Here's
my problem with
this. That's what
I would do. Hold on. Let me just get it off my chest. Okay, you sign it.
I'm signing it.
Good, you sign it.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's useless.
Okay,
but
exactly.
I'm signing it anyway.
Let me tell you my problem with this. This guy is placing blame on he's placing blame on Marvel Comics. Now, I am by no means saying that Marvel is innocent, okay? I am by no means saying that Marvel is right.
You ready? Because this may be the first time he and I go at it right here in the studio.
But
he's going to defend Marvel Comics. He's going to sit there and defend Marvel Comics in front of me.
I'm not defending Marvel so much as I'm saying that I don't believe that this is Marvel's fault. I think this is the media's fault. I think it's the media's fault. I think that Marvel produced a storyline that killed off a character, much like they have done in the past, and they've made a history of doing, and it's nothing new, and the media took it and ran with it. I blame the media more than I blame Marvel.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Media will have nothing to do unless Marvel tells them that they're doing it.
Okay.
The media's got nothing to eat if Marvel doesn't feed. It's Marvel's fault. They are trying to create headlines. And you know what? With all due respect, DC does the same thing. Batgirl's gay. It's national news. Or Batwoman, whatever.
Okay.
It's national news. That's fine. This is the ultimate exploitation. And you know, we talked about it last week about how people are saying this shouldn't happen during a war because he's an American symbol and blah, 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 blah. But that guy wrote that thing is exactly correct.
Wait a second.
We don't care about these publicity stunts. You know what it does? All it does is make the book harder to get for regular fans because it creates a speculator market for dopes to run out. I'm in the comic book store Wednesday, last Wednesday when it came out, and this Wednesday, or 2 weeks ago Wednesday, whatever it was,
right?
And this Wednesday when we got more first printings in. And guess what? They're still coming in the store buying both covers.
Okay.
And I ask everybody who buys them, do you read Captain America? No, I just heard he died in this one. Why are you buying it? Because it's going to be worth money someday. That's why they're buying it. And you know why people are having difficulty getting the book who've been reading Captain America for 25 years? Yes, me. Because these dopes are running around fueling a speculator market that Marvel is creating to boost their own sales.
Wow.
Figures and their own sales reputation. That's what they're doing.
I think that this petition is silly and ridiculous.
No way. It is. It, well, look, I agree with you in the point of fact that it's not going to change Buckley or Quesada into doing anything the way perhaps we feel they ought to do it. Certainly not going to change anything like that.
Right.
However, it's still worth noting that somebody is at least putting out there in a public forum an opinion that I believe in, which is that Marvel has got to stop with this bullshit. Oh my God, everything is tied together and it's all humongous and you have to have everything. I understand their need to create that need in a comic book reader so that they can sell books. But you know what? If they just did quality books like they used to, if they just had a single storyline and a single universe that ran throughout, that would be enough to get people on board on a regular basis. Good art, good story. What happened to that? It has to come to this now. It has to come to these moments of, oh God, what are we going to, Civil War. And Colbert is talking about the Civil War comics. And about how heroes are fighting each other. Oh, Captain America, we're going to kill Captain America. We're going to reveal Spider-Man to the world. We're going to do anything we can to get a light shined on us. No matter what it does to current readers or longtime readers, no matter what it does to characters that have been established and we have all grown up with, including Joe Crapass Quesada, I don't care what anybody says, the buck stops at Joe. That character, Captain America, is, what, 75 years old, whatever the hell he is? Why on earth does this have to happen except as a publicity stunt? There is no reason for
it. It's a cheap shot on Marvel's part, but Marvel has done this before. This isn't anything new.
No one's saying it's anything new.
And not even for Marvel. It's nothing new.
But I think read what the guy really is saying.
Takes it and runs with it lot further than it should be
read
run.
Read what the guy is saying. What does the guy say about comic book readers?
The people.
There is nothing wrong with a story that features the apparent death of a character who at the end of the tale returns to life. Is that what you're talking about?
No. We comic book readers.
We, the undersigned, further demand that the comic book companies stop pretending to kill off popular characters and stop misleading the public for the sake of boost in sales.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because what they're doing, besides trying to boost their own sales, is they're making the book more difficult to get for the regular reader. You know, if you casually...
You could say... Wait, I would agree with you, except they're doing multiple printings of the book. They're putting it in the hands of the reader.
That's great. Multiple printings, which take weeks and weeks to come out, and are multiple printings with new covers and... Bah, 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 bah. A guy can't walk in on a Wednesday after a book like that comes out. Can't walk in. Let's say you buy your books on Thursday. Would not have been able to walk into a comic book store on Thursday and have gotten that issue if he had been reading it for 35 years.
Reading it for 35 years. He has a reservation box somewhere where he's guaranteed to get that
issue.
Why?
That's not true.
It's true.
Not true.
It is true. The only way I got my books half the time is if I had them in a reservation
box. Fantastic. Call up the thing and sign it.
Well, we differ. That's okay. I mean, we're allowed to have differing opinions on this show.
You're wrong and I'm right.
Of course. Of course you would say that. You say that every time we have a difference in opinion.
Of course.
What else do we have? We have some DVD releases or something you wanted to talk about?
Oh, yes, sir. We do. Coming out in the last, I guess this might have been the week before last. Lunatics Unleashed, the complete first season.
I want to see that.
These are the, they're referred to as the Daffy descendants of the original Looney Tunes. In the year 2772.
Right.
Where a renegade meteor has endowed them with superpowers.
Ooh.
Yes, and you have characters such as Ace Bunny, Danger Duck, Tech E Coyote.
Oh, God.
Slam Tasmanian. And Lexi Bunny and Rev Runner, I guess, are all of those.
Right.
And they feature voices of Tim Curry, Michael Clark Duncan, Vivica A. Fox, David Faustino.
Wow.
And Florence Henderson.
Ooh.
As guest villains.
Of course.
On the show. So you imagine it's like a superhero Looney Tunes kind of thing. The design is really keen.
Right.
If I may use keen.
Right.
And it looks like a really. I've never seen any of these. So
You've
I'm
never
looking
seen
forward.
This?
No, have you seen them?
I've never seen the episodes, but I knew that it was on TV for a while, and I've actually been waiting for a DVD release so I can check them out.
Now the box, I think, in your little introduction, as gracious as you were, I think does it a disservice because it sounds completely dumb. However, it's very good.
Oh,
you
watched it?
Yeah, I watched like a 4-episode run one time in the middle of the afternoon, and I was sad that there were only 4 episodes being shown. It was pretty good.
Well, there's 13 on 2 discs in this season 1 collection.
I might have to pick that up.
Justice League Unlimited Series 2.
Right.
Came out last week, as well as Batman Beyond Season 3, which is, of course, the final season of Batman Beyond. I thought Batman Beyond was an exceptional cartoon.
I did. I really liked it. Exceptional. I didn't follow it all the way through the end, though. My interest kind of waned a little after the, I don't know, maybe beginning to middle of the second season, but I still enjoyed it, what I watched.
It was highly stylized and carried forth the storyline or the, I guess you'd call it the mythos or the canon of the Batman animated series of the 90s. And I thought it was really well done. This is the final 13 episodes on 2 discs. And I'm really sorry it didn't go further. The movie, however, fantastic.
This is the one where Batman is older and he kind of stays in the Batcave as a headquarters and a younger guy goes out.
He's got
out
the young
the
kid,
Bat.
Terry McGinnis, who's using this new super deluxe Batman suit. Mm-hmm. And it was really good. Really
it was.
Surprising. They had that movie that actually was in... Was it in theaters or did it go direct to video? I don't remember. But it was The Return of the Joker.
Right.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, as far as uncut version.
Ooh.
A little
violent.
Brutal.
A little violent. Also, coming out last week on DVD, if you haven't gotten out yet, you certainly must get out immediately and get the Comedy Central roast of William Shatner.
We love William Shatner.
We do love William Shatner. And it is absolutely outrageous. If you haven't seen it, this is the extended and uncensored version of it. George Takei alone worth the price of this disc.
Who was the one that told him he couldn't act his way out of a wet paper bag? Wasn't it? And someone
It was somebody's like, I can't. I do know. Wasn't it Patton Oswalt?
Oh, it might have been.
Got up there and he said, could you settle a bet for me and my friends? And he takes out of his back pocket a paper bag and he goes, can you act your way out of this? That was one of the funniest jokes. It features roasters Jason Alexander, Andy Dick, Greg Giraldo, Jimmy Kimmel, Lisa Lampanelli, Artie Lang, Nichelle Nichols, Patton Oswalt, Kevin Pollak, Jeffrey Ross, George Takei, Betty White, and Fred Willard.
Ooh, I like Fred Willard.
Yes. And it has, some special features on there and so forth. If you're a fan of William Shatner, like I am, absolutely and utterly a fan of William Shatner, you must have the Comedy Central roast of William Shatner now available on DVD. Finally, something a little bit out of our genre, but I want to tell everybody I think they should pick it up just the same. From the Discovery Channel, Deadliest Catch, the complete first season.
Right.
It's 5 discs, 10 episodes in all, 2 per disc, which I still don't understand how they're only getting 2 episodes per disc.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Wait, what's it about?
It's about, well, I'm getting there, Fantastic. I'm talking about the fact that I think it's still a bit bulky for this day and age.
It's 5 discs?
5 discs. It's only 10 episodes.
It's like a cake.
It is like it a is. Big slice of delicious.
You could hurt somebody cake. With that set.
Deadliest Catch is about the very unknown
right.
crab fishing business right. and how these guys in freezing temperatures and 40-foot waves and 700-pound crab pots are getting injured and killed to make sure that you have your Alaskan king crabs. I think it's incredible. I mean, just incredible. You have no idea that this is going on. And then you watch this and you just really, I really appreciate those crabs a little bit more when I'm tearing into them and enjoying them.
Is this a special kind of geek stuff? How does this tie in exactly?
I don't know. I just thought it was neat.
Wait, what is it? This one is like big ones or something like that?
No, this is a size matters.
Size matters. Well, this is a large box set.
Okay, so that's how it ties in.
The crabs are big too. Now that I saw, and it's really good. And
it is a good show.
I'm pretty sure somebody dies in it or somebody almost dies.
Yeah, it gets really hurt.
Did you know that the king crab harvest was worth $65 million?
I did not.
It's amazing. I think everybody should pick it up. It's just one of those things. You don't know a lot about something like this until you see you catch one of these documentaries and you're like, wow, I know. It's like the one I was watching this year, Everest.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were following the expedition to Mount Everest. You're like, holy crap. Did you know your body eats itself at like the second base camp or whatever the hell it is? Your body just starts eating itself. I thought it was just amazing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, unbelievable. Well, I just wanted to, I know it's a little bit out of the preview of the show here, but I just thought it was neat.
I'd like to throw something out to the Geek Stuff listeners. The research team, as I'm calling you guys for this assignment. I got
like
a text
to call
message.
Them Starman.
Exactly, right? So Starman, if you're listening. No, I got a text message this week from a friend of mine that said, hey, I heard they're releasing the entire Mask series on DVD later this year, as well as the original G.I. Joe series, all on DVD, big sets, yada, yada, yada. And I perked up. I was crazy excited, mostly for Mask personally, but I was excited for you, Fantastic, for G.I. Joe. I got a little bit of joy and elation.
I liked Mask too, though. I loved Mask.
So did I.
I had Boulder Hill.
I had a bunch of them. But so I tried to do a little bit of research on this, right? And I came up with nothing. I came up with no news about these being released. Yet my friend had heard about it somewhere, but he couldn't remember where. But apparently there was a Mask DVD that was released back in like 2003 or 2002. It had 5 episodes on it. And if you look for it now on Amazon.com or eBay, it's selling for like $130 a disc or $120 a disc or something.
Wow, really?
Insane like that. Yeah. Because it's apparently the only time they've ever officially released these anything Mask related on DVD.
Now, it's funny you say that because I just had a conversation with a friend of mine. His name is Rye Guy. And we were talking about he subscribes to Netflix,
right.
And he's had on his Netflix list the G.I. Joe DVDs for what I feel like is at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Okay.
And he's never gotten them.
Now, they did release a bunch
of
sets.
And I remember when they came out, they were expensive, and I couldn't get them. They were like $40 for half of a season or $45 for half season.
Really expensive.
So I thought $90 for a whole season of the G.I. Joe cartoon is kind of steep. So I'll catch them on Netflix. They don't have them. They're not giving them out.
Yeah.
So maybe they're in the same boat as these Mask DVDs, and maybe they're up for a re-release somehow to kind of get them out there and even the playing field for everybody.
Well, that's what I'm throwing out there. If anybody knows anything about either of these two series coming back out. Now, Now, mind you, I have seen both of these series copiously available on bootleg DVD for a long time.
Oh, really? I've never seen Mask available.
I have. I've seen it a couple of times. Actually, I think I saw it at, I didn't see it at Toy Fair, but I saw it at Big Apple Con. Two Big Apple Cons back, I saw a guy had it. Neither here nor there. Because I'm wondering about an official release. So if anybody knows anything, I'd really love to know what you know, where you found out the information. Let us know, because I'm really excited for both of those, Mask especially, on a personal level. But that's all.
Just wanted to throw it out. And I could care less about either one of them.
Oh, well, there you go.
I didn't really like the G.I. Joe cartoon, and I didn't like Mask.
That's all right. You don't have to.
No, I guess I like the G.I. Joe cartoon.
I like
G.I.
Joe. I like both. So
just those planes exploding and the chute coming out every time, and nobody ever died in G.I. Joe.
Well, it was formula, I mean, but it worked.
That's why Larry Hama hates it.
And Larry Hama should hate it. I don't know. It bugged me. I like the comic book better, at least in the 80s. Yeah. Something to point out. Last week, again, hearkening back to last week, we talked about the political ramifications and implications of the movie 300.
Yeah.
In the March 16th, 2007 edition of the New York Post,
right?
There was an article written by David Kahane.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say Kahane, and it'll turn out to be Kane. Or
how's it spelled?
K-A-H-A-N-E.
Yeah, I'm saying Kahane, maybe, but no.
Kahane! Kahane, and it's called Forbidden Hollywood, The Lessons of 300. And I'm not going to sit here and read it. If you're able to find it online, Google David Kahane or see if they
archive the article
online somewhere, or go to your local library and see if they still have the March 16th issue. It's on page 29. It really is a rather in-depth article about what I thought was going to be about the politics of the movie 300, as it compares to the world and the problems of today.
But
I was delighted to find out that although they do mention the Iranians' objection to it, and how, in fact, that the Iranians are saying that following the Islamic revolution in Iran, Hollywood and cultural authorities in the U.S. initiated studies to figure out how to attack Iranian culture. Certainly, the recent movie is a product of such studies.
Right.
I mean, Iranians are really saying that this movie was made to offend them.
Yeah, I know, which is silly.
To attack their culture. That was a small part of this article.
Right.
The larger part of this article, I think, was about the fact that movies like 300... that feature, even in an allegorical form, the U.S. as the good guys,
right,
and other people, say Middle Eastern people, as the bad guys,
right,
which were very sort of politically correct and eliminated, if that's possible for it to be both, after 9/11. That because of the kind of the PC nature of the country, that even after 9/11, nobody in Hollywood wanted to touch anything that made any of Arabs or Iranians or Muslims or so on and so forth to be any sort of bad guy, with very few exceptions.
24.
I mean, the neo-Nazis came back, and right, you know, like all these sort of people came back. The article goes in depth about how the movie maybe is opening up the door again for that sort of thing.
Okay.
And also discusses the political ramifications, the homosexual possibilities that the movie presents, and where films can possibly go from here.
Okay.
And I thought it was a very interesting...
good read?
Yeah, a very good opinion piece. Again, by David Kahane, K-A-H... A-N-E. It's in the New York Post Friday, March 16th, 2007 edition. I think everybody should check it out. It's a pretty interesting little read.
Cool.
Yeah. Fantastic. You have your video game news available? Go.
All right. I got to take a shit.
Kev, New Jersey's Wild Pig Comics 2 is celebrating its 7th anniversary with their 24-hour sale, this year extended to 29 hours.
Wow.
From noon Saturday, March 31st to 5 p.m. Sunday, April 1st. Every item on the sales floor will be 50% off. This is Wild Pig's largest sale yet.
40,000 back issues, including high-grade silver and Bronze Age books, as well as thousands of 50-cent books from the 70s to present. Over 1,700 mid- to high-grade Bronze Age books that have just been purchased will be added to the boxes on the eve of the sale. Over 1,500 trade paperbacks will be on sale. Hundreds of statues and toys, as well as an action figure blowout mat. All figures will be $5 a piece, including dozens of DC Direct and Marvel Legends figures.
So be sure to go early for the best selection. But remember, you can even come in at 3 a.m. on Sunday morning if you are so inclined. In addition to the huge sale that they will be holding, they will also have the annual 24-hour Artists Challenge. See up-and-coming indie artists attempt to write and draw a 24-page comic book in 24 hours.
Featuring artists Danielle Corsetto of GirlsWithSlingshots.com, our friend Chris Moreno of Paul Jenkins' sidekick Dracula vs. King Arthur, and the hysterical Monkey in a Wagon vs. Lemur on a Big Wheel. Not to mention Jamie Halton of InHisLikeness.com.
Another good friend of the show.
A sponsor of the show. And Bill Ellis of Silver-Rage.com.
This is not a phony sale. Prices will not be raised the night before.
No cards, no games, no fads. Just 1,400 square feet of wall-to-wall comics.
Presented by Jersey's hardest working comic shop, Wild Pig Comics 2.
Wild Pig Comics 2 is located at 14 South Michigan Avenue in Kenilworth, New Jersey, minutes from Route 22 East and Garden State Parkway Exit 138.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some.
Hey, this is Gary Coleman.
Hey, this is Ty Ritter from Different Strokes.
What you talking about, Willis?
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Different strokes it takes. Different strokes it takes. Different strokes to move the world.
It does it for me, and I can't get enough.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 51, Size Matters.
Which really has very little to do with the episode.
Really nothing at all, actually.
Ultimately, I think it's probably a shitty title.
That's okay. We have some shitty titles.
We do?
Well, you know what?
I like all the titles.
It's the problem. Yeah, or what was that one? Mighty Xerxes. What the fuck was that?
Xerxes?
That crazy amalgam title we had.
I remember that. Wasn't it something Onslaught?
Yeah.
Something.
Hermes.
Unlucky.
Hermes Unlucky Onslaught.
Yeah. Episode 13, I believe it was. We have some good ones. We have some bad ones. But at least we name everyone. We try, damn it.
Yes, we do.
Gosh darn it.
And speaking of trying.
Yeah.
And succeeding.
Yeah.
It's now time, of course, for us to talk about DC Direct.
Ooh.
Always a pleasure to talk about the fine products coming from DC Direct. And what do we have tonight, Matthew?
We have Elseworlds Series 3 action figures.
Lovely.
There are 5 in total in the set. The first one I have here in my hands is Elseworlds Finest Batgirl.
Okay. Elseworlds Finest Batgirl.
Orphaned by a petty criminal and taken in by the Wayans, Barbara Gordon protects a paranormal-free Gotham City and fights off attacks as well as loving advances from the Joker. So that's a little
And does it say what book that's from?
Yeah, the series is Elseworld's Finest Batgirl, so I'm guessing it comes from Elseworld's Finest.
Okay.
All in all, very nice Batgirl figure. She's kind of
butch.
Yeah, she is. She's a little butch. She's a little butch. I mean, she's obviously female. Like, there's no question about her gender. But
she has teats.
Yeah, and she has some feminine curves, but she's a little thick. But that's okay. It's a good figure. This would be.
She's a little thick.
You know,
that's what you say about girls who you're like trying to justify sleeping with, and they're not. Yeah, no, she's not heavy. She's thick.
Fat girls are like mopeds. No one wants to admit we've all ridden one.
I've never heard that before.
No.
Wow.
The worst is
that was in a movie. I don't even remember what movie.
Yeah, sure.
It was from.
It's okay because you heard someone else say it.
Yeah, it is.
that makes it okay.
That's how I justify all my racial jokes.
Good.
Too.
Call them on it. Good.
That's like when you're a kid and then you're like, "Oh fuck," and then they're like, "Oh, don't say that." You but he said fuck.
Yeah, exactly. This particular figure, I don't believe, is based on a particular artist's stylings,
right.
Although I could be wrong. You know, she comes with her little bat armor, and she comes with a big-ass freaking gun, which, again, because I'm not 100% sure which book it comes from, I can't verify whether or not she used it in said book or whether or not it's a throwaway accessory. But all in all, it's a really nice figure. I like that on her, on the bat cowl. The eyes are completely whited out. It really kind of adds to the overall mood and creepiness of the character.
Yeah, you know, I like when they do that with Batman, when they white the eyes out. I like that a lot better. I mean, with the exception of, say, an Alex Ross piece.
Right.
They never look right unless they're whited out.
Yeah, it's and for
I mean,
some
even
reason,
the
they
Alex
don't
Ross
do
pieces,
it.
It's kind of iffy, but mostly when they white it out, it looks good.
Yeah, I agree, and they certainly carried that with this figure. So it's a good figure. I mean, what we expect from DC Direct.
And what else? You got two more over there. What
I
else?
Do have two more. This is another one from Elseworld's Finest. This is Supergirl. When the love of her life, Lex Luthor, is kidnapped, Supergirl forms an unexpected alliance with Batgirl and finds out that the shocking truth about Lex and Kal-El, the cousin she never knew.
Huh.
So, again, it's a really nice figure. this is like Dyke Supergirl. It's always what I think about when I see it because of the super short hair.
No, it looks like Bridget Nielsen to me.
Oh,
yes. That's a good one.
Yes, that is a good one. Good good call.
With extremely large and oddly shaped breasts.
Yes,
they're very big, and the S, the Superman S, or I'm sorry, the Supergirl S. On the chest kind of makes the chest into a weird shape. It's like a giant pancake breast.
yeah, it is interesting.
She's got one hell of a six-pack, though.
But it's a great figure. It is a great figure. And,
What is your obsession with abs?
And the
every week, it's somebody else's abs are impressing you. Now he's impressed by the action figure abs.
Well, at least this week it's Supergirl's abs and not Gerard Butler's abs.
Or what was it one week before that? You know who it was the week before last?
Yeah,
Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, wow.
With the abs.
Guy like, works at it.
Like the picture?
I also like the kink in her hip. It's a sassy kink.
It is a sassy kink.
Yeah, she does have a sassy little stance there, doesn't she?
My concern with this figure comes from that little kink, Fantastic.
And why is that?
My experience in the past with DC Direct females, when they kind of have that sass or that swish or that kink in the hip, it throws the balance of the figure off, making it hard to stand.
I could see that.
And if the legs aren't cut right or they don't pose well, she is doomed to fall forward and collapse every figure below her in your display.
Unless you use the base.
Which is fine. But, you know, in big collections like both myself and Big Kev have, the bases kind of take away from room in your display.
And if you're a kid who just happens to be a really big fan
right.
of a Bridget Nielsen modeled Superwoman or Supergirl
Supergirl
with giant breasts and
right.
you want to play with her.
Right.
it kind of takes away from the whole playability in the fact that you can't get the figure to stand.
It does. It does. But, you know, it's a nice figure, and it's DC Direct, so you can't go wrong.
Well, the figure does lay down. Fantastic. So
so that part
just
works.
Just saying. Just saying.
Last one that I have here is Red Sun Green Lantern. So again, continuing with these Red Sun characters, they did two in series one, Superman and Wonder Woman. They did two in series two, Batman and Superman. So series three, now they're doing Green Lantern, Colonel Hal Jordan, a military hero, and his group of Marines are the United States secret weapons against the communist superpower Superman has created.
Right. So this is the book Red Sun, I thought, was really, really well done.
Yes.
And the designs and so on and so forth are really rather inspiring. And I actually really like the Red Sun figures. I think they're really, really awesome.
You know what? Conceptually, I love the figures because I love the character designs that they had for the
right.
book. And I've been really, really pleased with all of the figures thus far, Series 1 and Series 2.
Here comes the butt.
I'm not that jazzed about the head sculpt on this figure.
You know what? I think I can explain why you're not jazzed about it.
Okay.
Because the Hal Jordan figure that we have here, the Red Sun Hal Jordan figure, has a hat and goggles on. So it makes it different. It makes it difficult, rather,
right,
to really examine the sculpt without actually opening up. So I want to say this to you, Matt.
Okay.
I want you to go ahead and open up that figure.
Okay.
Because I think you'll find that once you've opened him up and taken him out of his packaging and are actually able to examine the head sculpt, I'm not sure whether the hat comes off, but I'm reasonably sure the goggles do. It seems that
it looks like the goggles will pop off, even if you have to break them off. But they are a separate piece. They're not molded.
Yeah,
they're actually little glass in there.
Please don't lose any of the accessories, Matt.
Oh, you better include that.
The only accessory is the lantern, and it's big and green, kind of hard to lose in this dark-colored studio. Okay, the hat and the goggles do not come off.
Oh, they don't?
No, they don't.
Oh.
You know what?
What?
Again, I do like the figure. I don't think that the sculpt is necessarily bad, but it is awkward. And it is awkward because of the hat and the chin strap. So maybe what I should say is not that it's a bad sculpt, but it is an awkward look on the character.
You know what it kind of looks like? Remember when you got that hat from work?
Yeah.
That hat liner that thing?
Yeah.
That was like two sizes too small and I strapped that on my head. That's kind of what this face looks like. Like,
yeah.
He looks like he's wearing a safety. I'm totally switching sides on this now. I'm saying, yeah, well, now you can appreciate the sculpt. Well, now I appreciate it how kind of retarded that he kind of looks.
It's, again, I don't want to say that it's a bad sculpt because I think it's a good sculpt, but it's an awkward looking perhaps pose or depiction of the character.
I took a look at it when it was still in the box, and it's not so much the helmet or the glasses or the hat or whatever you would call that. I think the chin strap really does it, where it's kind of like it's molded into his face.
Yeah.
And then painted. And on that particular one, Kev, if you could look close enough at the very bottom of the chin strap, you could actually see the paint is a little off. So his chin strap has a slightest like piece of
flesh
tone color in it. And it just detracts from when you say, oh, let me take a look at the guy's face, and you see the clear thing there
right.
is that it's off.
Right.
It really is kind of awkward.
I like
it?
The glasses, though, the goggles.
Again, the design of the characters is great, and they do lend well to toys, but maybe if they had made it a removable hat or made the something, it's just something about it just seems awkward to me. Something about it just doesn't sit well with me.
But because his hips are at 90-degree angles to his waist.
Actually, not. I think it looks like one of the legs is kind of askew.
Really? I thought it looked pretty even, like
he would be
playable.
I think he's playable. He does twist at the boots, though, so he'll be easy to stand.
And though he does twist at the boots, He is a bit difficult to stand because of the way that the legs are.
Does he have broken ankles?
He doesn't. No, actually, the ankles don't articulate, but he kind of has this one foot that's in a stepping position with the toes kind of bent and the heel up a little bit.
So he's got to be pointed that
and
way.
And so, yeah. Right, without the... Right, but he's good. It's a good figure. It's just a little awkward is my only, not complaint, but criticism.
The two most exciting pieces in the line, at least for me, Matt, are the ones I'm going to talk about right now, and they are Kingdom Come Nightstar and Kingdom Come Aquaman.
Okay.
And when we had George Brewer, the head of DC Direct, on the show, we applauded him for this, and he continues to impress us by maintaining the original Kingdom Come packaging. Even though these two characters are appearing in the Elseworlds 3 line, they are appearing in the original Kingdom Come packaging.
Right. Which we love.
Right, absolutely. And they are based, of course, on the Mark Waid and fantastic artist Alex Ross best-selling graphic novel. Nightstar, as a society, is racked by a war between superhumans. This half-alien daughter of Starfire and Nightwing fights with the Justice League to restore order. So she's rather an important character in the story.
Sure.
And, of course, Aquaman, in a world where superhumans have withdrawn from the public eye, Aquaman is unconcerned with those on land, being the ruler of the vast underwater kingdom. So it's a more regal King Aquaman-looking figure, and of course, Nightstar as well.
That is one of my favorite Aquaman figures I think I've ever seen.
This one?
Yeah, I think it is really outstanding.
Because he just looks like Aquaman in like British knight armor.
Yeah, but I really do think it's an outstanding figure. I think the sculpt on it is great. I think it captures the character very nicely. It captures Alex Ross's mood of the character very nicely. And Aquaman figures, I think, sometimes end up looking kind of silly or goofy or misplaced because Aquaman often himself looks silly, goofy, and misplaced.
Silly, goofy, and misplaced.
And yeah. I think that is a great, great character, a figure of that character. And dare I say, might be the best Aquaman figure to date. But why don't we get into why this episode is called Size Matters? Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
Well, I couldn't wait, Matt, to find this, and I'm rather glad that I did.
Okay.
I got a figure from the new Spider-Man 3 line from Hasbro.
Okay.
I said I wasn't going to, and I did it anyway, because I really do like the design of the character.
Sure.
And he's referred to here as the New Goblin.
Right.
Which, of course, as we know, is going to be Harry Osborn.
Mm-hmm.
And it says on the back here, oh wait, I might want to plug this.
Attention. The following information is considered spoiler material.
Right, just because I'm about to give you some information which may be considered
spoiler material.
Yes, as the bit indicates. Granted incredible strength, speed, and damage resistance by his father's goblin serum, Harry Osborn becomes the cackling criminal known to the world as New Goblin. That's, I guess, what the character's name is.
New Goblin?
Screaming through the air aboard his sky stick, leaving a trail of black exhaust and crazed laughter behind him, he stalks Spider-Man through the Manhattan skies with enough pumpkin bombs to level a city block and blades to spare at his disposal. There's no way the web-slinger can escape.
Why can't they call it a fucking snowboard? Or a hoverboard or some shit?
Because, sky stick? Man, it's his sky stick,
okay.
Man.
Without even getting into the scale of that figure, because that's where we're going to head eventually, I'm sure.
Right.
I just want to say that with the face mask on, excellent looking figure.
The design of the character is nice.
With the face mask off, fucking awful.
Okay, I won't go as far as to say that it's awful, but I will say...
Look anything like James Franco or whatever the hell his name is.
I think... Yeah, it's James Franco. I'm going to say this, a couple of things. One, the pictures on the back of the pack do not match the figure, number one.
Actually, that doesn't even match the figure we saw at Toy Fair, I don't believe.
No. There are parts on here that are colored in the photo, not colored on the figure.
Right.
I don't want to turn this into a let's bash this figure to death.
Okay, okay? So let's not.
So, but we should say a few things.
Okay.
One, it's a decent looking design of a character.
Yes.
The fact that they're calling him New Goblin.
I hate.
Is going to bother us. The fact that he's riding a Sky Stick,
yuck,
which is not the glider created by his father.
Right.
And that he's wearing what appears to be snowboarding boots.
Right.
In order to ride it is a little disturbing. And he's got blades and he's... What's wrong with the gun?
Well,
let's not get nitpicky on the character. We're here to discuss.
We'll save that for
is,
the movie discussion.
Right. I have the...
Ooh, tape measure?
I have the tape measure from the... Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive. I've had Pablo fetch the measuring tape. So
Pac was on vacation this week.
We can measure him. And Harry, or New Goblin, measures in at about 4 3/4 inches.
Which is what we said, I think.
Is that what we...
I think that's what we said.
We've kind of been going back between 4 and 5 inches.
Well,
I
think
guess
it's
he's
a
closer
5-inch
to 5.
Scale.
Right.
So my guess would be that he's a 5-inch scale. Spider-Man's probably going to be 5 inches.
Maybe Sandman will be a little
bit. Sandman will be 5 1/4, 5 1/2.
Not that Seaman? Kind of episode.
Sandman will be maybe 5 1/4, 5 1/2.
Venom.
Venom will certainly be larger, I would think.
Well, there's good news and bad news here.
Okay.
The bad news, of course, is that Hasbro has decided, with the exception of Marvel Legends, all the figures are going to be this size. All Marvel-related property figures are going to be this size.
Is that what they decided? I thought it was only movie-related figures were going to be that size.
Well, they're not going to do anything else.
Like, what about, like, the Spider-Man line? You know the line that we've been getting where we get 15 Spider-Mans and then Mysterio? 15 Spider-Mans and
then
Toxin.
That was the Origins. The Origins line.
Well, they're calling it Origins now but it was just called Spider-Man.
Done.
Oh, that's done. There's no more.
I think that's done and there's no more.
Okay.
Because I think what they're going to do is try and do
movie product.
Try to get us back to 5 inches. Well, they're gonna retro all the other movies that have come before. There's a Goblin. We saw Goblin coming out and Doc Ock, and they're gonna try to get us to this scale.
Well, I would think.
However, I'd like to point out the price point. Is still $10 a figure.
Oh well, that's good. Well, lots of plastic. So, I mean, in the packaging,
I guess. So that was kind of the bad news. Well, that is the bad news.
That is the
really
bad news. There's
because
not kind of.
For those of you that have been, if you haven't, if you're, for those of you that are following the trends in the industry, of course, the 6-inch figure, scale, the 6-inch, 7-inch scale has been the standard for about a decade at this point. So if you have been collecting, these figures in your collection and some of the titles are like Marvel Legends, any DC Direct,
right?
Since the beginning of DC Direct,
I think it was Todd McFarlane that introduced that size scale. Really, didn't he? With the movie Maniacs.
Well, He-Man's were big in the '80s.
Well, maybe like maybe McFarlane brought it back into the forefront.
Dirty, jacked figures, yeah, He-Man.
But I think maybe McFarlane brought it back into the
Thundercats.
Yeah, but the Thundercats, the figures would be around the same time as the original He-Man figures. I'm talking about. We went from those...
Well, don't get ahead.
Okay.
Because I don't want you to get too far ahead. But yeah, I think you're right. I think probably it was around that time. I'm sure Todd had a lot to do with it. But don't forget, he was doing 5-inch figures too when he started.
Sure, but he eventually upscaled to the larger size.
I think that size does matter.
Okay.
There's not as much detail in this figure as in a Marvel Legends figure.
Certainly.
Right? So... The good news is, or rather the bad news is, that this is what you're going to have to stomach.
Right.
Probably from now on with regards to Marvel licensing.
Okay.
With the exception of Marvel Legends, which I think that they have pretty much decided that they're not going to touch because there'll be riots.
I just have two quick points to throw out in regards to that comment.
Okay.
If that's okay. Size does matter, yes, but I don't think size affects... quality of sculpt.
Well, it does here.
It does there, but let's take a look at the Marvel Legends that we've seen from Hasbro so far. Same scale, shitty sculpts. Let's take a look at the Golden Compass and the Harry Potter figures coming from Cards Inc. Tiny, tiny scale, awesome sculpts.
Awesome sculpts.
So I don't think that size and sculpt necessarily have to be correlated. Now, if Hasbro is choosing that, then that's Hasbro's problem. I think Hasbro is just suffering from poor sculpture.
Here's the good news.
Okay.
We did some comparisons, you and I, before the show.
We did.
And we have decided, because we are authorities on this topic.
Because we have microphones in front of us.
We have decided that these new figures coming from Hasbro, the 5-inch ones, perfectly acceptable to be integrated into your, shall we say, Toy Biz or 90s era action figures that precede the 6-inch burst.
Right.
So that would be Toy Biz, X-Men, the entire Toy Biz line in the early 90s before they slowly started to upscale.
Right.
All of these figures we feel will be acceptable in a collection of 5-inch figures.
Completely.
Like the ones that used to come out from Toy Biz.
Completely.
And that's good news. Because rather than starting an entire new collection, if you're, say, like me, and have a very large, almost complete Toy Biz Marvel collection from the 90s, these figures are going to, practically speaking, are going to seamlessly integrate right
into that collection, sure.
They do not feature, New Goblin here does not feature multiple points of articulation, I might add. He's not overly articulated like a Marvel Legends figure. In fact, it looks to me like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 8 points of articulation. Seems enough for you to get a decent pose out of him.
Yeah, basic joints and whatnot.
Just like Toy Biz figures from the 90s or Batman Animated, if you prefer. It's another...
Well, actually, more articulation than Batman Animated, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, but only slightly more. And figures from that era before the size jump, if you will. That's the good news to come out. The only good news to come out of this is that if you already have one of these collections, that these will kind of seamlessly go right along with them if you're willing to, you know, get them.
Sure.
My problem is that I saw some of the other ones. I saw Sandman today. I saw Venom today. And they're kind of the same sort of size.
Okay.
I definitely think Sandman should have been larger.
Sure. And Venom and Sandman Venom, both should have been larger.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen the movie Venom yet. So I don't know if he should be larger. But Sandman is definitely bigger than Spider-Man. Just size. He's taller than
him. I mean, Thomas Hayden Church is taller than Tobey Maguire.
And when
he's
all sandmanned out, he's bigger. So my theory here is that he should have been a little bit bigger.
Okay.
What Toy Biz did in the 90s, in the latter era of the 5-inch figure from them before they went to 6-inch, they started experimenting with bigger figures. You might remember that first Avengers series where they put out Scarlet Witch and Loki.
Yep.
And I think Thor was in there also. And... But they also put out figures in the 5-inch scale that were scaled correctly. So if your average figure like Spider-Man is 5 inches tall, they made Sandman like 6 or 6.5 inches tall.
Yeah.
Because he's much bulkier, much bigger.
Sure.
And that kind of started that
scale.
That kind of started that whole 6-7-inch movement. When they started doing that, they were kind of reluctantly going there.
Right.
And kind of leaving the 5 inches behind.
Right.
But still, some of them kind of work. You know, the Hulk is really big. So some of those latter Hulk figures like Smart Hulk and Joe Fixit and some of those were actually in pretty good scale with 5-inch figures.
Sure.
But they were also the beginning of the 6-inch line. And then, of course, as we've come to criticize rather often on this show, is that they continue to make Marvel Legends Hulks 7 or 8 inches, you know, 6 or 7 inches tall, when in fact there's never been a picture of the Hulk where he hasn't towered at least 2.5 feet above every other character.
Right.
Forcing the reasonable collector to go out and find the Marvel Icons Hulk to maintain scale in their collection. So there is something to this whole size issue. And I think it's a shame, because right after we review five really top quality 6-inch pieces, I feel really depressed.
I feel like we're taking a step backwards.
Yeah. In quality and size. This is not the quality figure that Hasbro should be producing.
Not at all.
I mean, he's very few points of articulation. I mean, it's a subpar sculpt.
Well, I think we've said what we need to say. I think the listeners are going to have to make their own decision. So you should go out and grab these when you see them. They're readily available everywhere at this point.
Yep, they're out now.
And let us know what you think. Let us know what you think about scale and size, or about change in sculpt or whatnot. And we'll talk about it again.
New Goblin is a good design. You know, it is. If you have to have one,
that's
I'm voting for New Goblin.
Sure.
Because he's a decent design.
Maybe a Spider-Man to go along with it, just to get some like posing thing going on.
Yeah, if you're getting battle thing. But I don't know how articulated they are either, so the battles might be very static.
Yeah, but that's okay.
That's okay. So I guess in the end what we're saying is that size matters depending on what your collection is. Go out, check them out. If you like them, if you want to start a 5-inch collection or restart a 5-inch collection, you're definitely going to be helped by Hasbro here. If you want to stick to your 6 inches, check out Legends. Big Kev's Action Figure Chop Shop.
Hey, yeah, exactly.
Because we are not allowing anybody to do anything but 6 inches, I think, at this point.
No, not in tiny.
And I think coming up in the next few weeks, our first assignment is going to be wrapping up.
Ooh, excellent.
So we're going to be hearing from some of those guys. I think actually, maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, I think that's
awesome.
Scheduled for. Actually, I gotta check in with those guys and make sure they're doing okay. And I think fantastic. The page, we're gonna get that page.
He's nodding yes.
He's
he
nodding
can't speak
yes.
right now because he has a face full of cinnamon sugar coated graham crackers. Which
these
he
are
sugar free.
These are sugar free. Sugar free cinnamon graham crackers. From Honeymaid.
Oh, now he's spitting them out. Apparently, it was a sugar fix that he was after.
Well, there you go. Bastard. Fantastic. You steal my cookies, and that's what you get. And we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Mr. Fantastic. It's time for the fans of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to get interactive with the show. And there are many ways to do this. You can visit us at myspace.com/BigKev'sGeekStuff. Or come talk to me about my G.I. Joe and Star Wars action figures at the forums found at BigKevsGeekStuff.com/forum. Drop us a line or leave us a review on the iTunes store by searching for Geek Stuff under podcasts. And if you want to hear more of Big Kev's Geek Stuff live on XM Satellite Radio, drop him a line at eric.logan@xmradio.com. So help Big Kev's Geek Stuff continue to grow and expand by taking a few moments to show your support.
Hey, this is Adam West from Batman and Family Guy and a few other things.
Who is it this time? Commissioner, Joker, Egghead, Riddler, King Tut?
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
Pablo.
What?
What happened to Paco?
Can't really talk about what happened to Paco.
Oh, is there?
There was an issue.
Is there?
A colored card may have been involved.
Oh.
Can't really talk about the status of Paco at this time.
All right.
But the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive is in good hands with Pablo. And
any relation to Paco?
I can't really discuss.
Oh, it would call into question. Right. Okay. Okay, I understand. I
can't really discuss anything about the workforce in the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive.
So really what we're saying is Paco has gone on a vacation.
Yes.
For right now.
Vacation. Very well put. I'll tell you what we can discuss.
What?
What we discussed in this episode.
Well, we started off with a small correction about Dan Juergens. No one really cares, but he was a writer,
oh,
not
yeah.
the illustrator.
No one really cares that you backed up Fantastic when he was wrong.
I believe you backed him up, too. But that's okay.
Really?
We're not playing it again. We played it twice already.
What does this clip say to you?
Never went back.
I instead went to my local comic book store that day. The day the issue came out, because they were having a signing there by the artist at the time was
Dan Juergens.
Dan Juergens. And he was signing the books.
Do you know
the
that?
Black bagged version. It was Dan Juergens.
Wait, hold on. No, what does that say to you?
Uh-huh.
Does that say you didn't back him
yep.
up?
We also talked about the Pirates of the Caribbean 3 trailer.
Ooh,
I liked
Lolly.
It.
Yeah, Chow Yun Fat.
I like Chow Yun. I think Chow Yun Fat looks awesome.
I think Chow Yun Fat looks awesome. I think Keira Knightley looks awesome.
Well, yeah.
And I think the third one looks even more...
silly.
Fantastically silly than the second one.
Well, we'll have to see.
We also talked about Charles Schultz, Schultz Youth book coming out, which collects single panel strips that Charles did in the 50s and 60s that discuss the difficult teenage years. That's coming in May from About Comics.
We talked about a picture that appeared online this week that's causing a little bit of chit-chat in regards to Venom's origins, the symbiote's origins. It's an image of Peter Parker's bike with a meteor crashing in the background, and it calls into question whether or not the costume is, in fact, coming from space.
We also talked about the delicious cookie of the show,
ooh,
the sugar-free cinnamon graham cracker from the fine folks at Honeymaid.
Ooh, yummy, yummy, yummy.
And we also talked about Damian Wayne, the son of Batman and Talia al Ghul, will be featured in a standalone would-be future storyline, I guess in the Elseworlds vein, in Batman issue 666, where we see what it's like in 15 years when he's Batman in a nightmarish future Gotham. Oodalali.
We talked about Escape from New York. Maybe it's not going to be a remake. Maybe it's going to be a prequel.
Maybe it's going to suck.
Either way, I think you're right.
We also talked about IDW's Star Trek license. They're doing a book called Star Trek Klingons Blood Will Tell, which is a Klingon perspective on a classic tale from the original Star Trek television series. Will be released in both English and the Klingon language.
It's true.
I'm excited about that.
I know you are. You say. Emil Hirsch, who you may know from Lords of Dogtown, The Girl Next Door, and most recently Alpha Dog, looks like he is in talks right now to star as Speed Racer, the upcoming Wachowski Brothers Speed prequel.
I think our movie casting for that was much better.
Much better.
From the pages of Runaways from Marvel Comics comes a new, I guess a spinoff book or a companion book mm-hmm. called Loners.
Aww.
About a group of five superpowered young adults who are trying to stay out of the spandex.
Yeah!
Trying to fight the urge to make the world a better place. I don't know. I think it looks interesting.
Right.
That's where I kind of draw the line there.
We then talked a little bit about New Line Cinema's Fuck You Peter Jackson movie, or as I like to call it, Gears of War, that they are potentially developing. I think it's a slap in the face to Peter Jackson and his now defunct Halo film.
Coming from England, from the company Vivid Imaginations, mm-hmm. will be a line of figures from the BBC's Robin Hood series that Matt is so fond of.
It's good.
It's going to have a bunch of characters, including at least two figures of Robin. There'll be some Little Johns, Marion, one of which will be in her Watchman disguise, which I don't understand. Sheriff of Nottingham, of course, or Guy of Gisborne, horses. Looks like at least a 12-inch Robin, if nothing else, in 12-inch. Not sure of the scale on these. They look to me like they got to be smaller, but they could be 6-inch, so I just can't really tell.
I'm thinking somewhere in the, you know, five and a quarter.
Attention, Adrian Foreigner. What size are the BBC Robin Hood figures? Attention, Matt from Automatic Comics. What size are the BBC Robin Hood figures? Thank you.
We talked about the Bring Back Captain America petition. It's floating around online right now. And we have differing opinions on this. And that's all I need to say. If you want to know what those opinions are, you can go back in the episode and listen to us duke it out. But I think we need to move away from it for now.
We also talked about some DVD releases. Lunatics Unleashed Season 1.
Right. Justice League Unlimited, a Series 2. Batman Beyond Season 3.
Which is the final season.
Correct.
Final 13 episodes on two discs. We also talked about the Comedy Central roast of William Shatner being released on DVD, uncensored and extended.
Right.
Definitely worth picking up.
The Deadliest Catch box set?
Yes, the Deadliest Catch box set, which I'd like to say was a rather large box set.
Large and in charge.
Trying to work this title in, it's just not happening this week.
And again, I'm going to throw this out there to the research committee, whomever you may be. What's going on with the Mask DVD sets? What's going on with the G.I. Joe DVD sets? If you know something, let us know.
And finally, in the news segment, we talked about an opinion piece in the New York Post Friday, March 16th on page, I think it was 29. If you can get a hold of it, it was a good read.
Mr. Kahane wrote a very nice piece. That's K-A-H-A-N-E, if you want to look
him up. I
don't
know that it's nice. I know that it was interesting. It wasn't simply, it's an allegory for America. It was more about the film industry at large and where we've come from since 9/11 and where we may be headed to.
Right. By nice, I didn't mean sunshine and roses. By nice, I meant interesting and well written.
Oh, is that what you meant?
Yes.
That's what you meant by nice.
Yes.
I see.
In the second segment of the show today, we talked about Elseworlds Series 3 from DC Direct. It includes a total of five figures. I discussed Elseworld's Finest Batgirl and Elseworld's Finest Supergirl, as well as Red Sun Green Lantern.
Great figures, obviously, from DC Direct.
Yes.
We also talked about Kingdom Come Nightstar and Kingdom Come Aquaman, who have been, again, packaged in the original Kingdom Come-style box packaging that the original Kingdom Come line came in. It's exciting. It's very great for collectors. George Brewer is to be commended again
for
this
decision.
Two thumbs up, George. And the figures overall are I think we've decided that they're very good figures.
Yes.
They're interesting figures. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we expect to see a lot more from the fine folks at DC Direct and the Elseworlds series.
We then talked about the new Goblin figure and his air stick from Hasbro from the Spider-Man 3 movie line.
Yeah, new Goblin. It's very much disturbing information here. The character is called New Goblin. He has a sky stick.
Sky stick.
Lots of blades, lots of things. What we commented on regarding size is that we have decided that this is a step down for Hasbro.
Uh-huh.
There's less articulation in these figures. Uh-huh. The sculpts are lacking. Rather lacking, I think, is probably the kindest phrase that we can use. And the good news, however, they will fit in nicely with your 90s era Toy Biz figures, and I guess the animated
right.
figures on a lesser extent, but certainly the 90s era Toy Biz figures, these will fit seamlessly into that collection.
Certainly.
That's kind of the good news. The bad news is, other than Marvel Legends, this is all you're going to get from Hasbro from now on is these 5-inch figures. So the way we figure it, you got two ways to go here. You either revitalize your 5-inch collection and start filling in those gaps. Shouldn't be that tough. All the 5-inch figures are, all of them, mostly available
right.
on eBay and usually yeah. for a buck or two or three for a buck at most conventions. And you can integrate the new 5-inch figures in, or you can simply abandon the line, stay with the 6-inch as long as they're going to allow that to happen, and keep plugging away with stuff like Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Action Figure Chop Shop.
Yep.
Check out some of those creators over on that page, which hopefully will be up very soon. We're going to be discussing the Chop Shop's first assignment, The Watchmen. very soon in the next 3 weeks or so. And I think that's the future of the 6-inch.
I think so, too.
I mean, I'm glad DC Direct is still around.
Thank
glad
God
they're
DC
still
Direct.
Doing Marvel Legends to an extent. I'm glad they're still doing Marvel Legends. I think that's it.
Yep. Kudos to DC.
Size matters.
That's true.
Fantastic. Anything?
You guys remember when you were little in like August or September?
Here
it was
goes.
Muggy outside.
Oh, God.
It was really humid.
Uh-huh.
Kind of out playing wiffle ball late at night or something.
In the dusky hours.
Yeah. And then there were these things that fly around and they're like abdomen glows. They're
like lightning bugs.
Yeah. But there's another name for them. They're, it's Firefly.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. But you can't take the sky from me.